Amen. What a beautiful sight to watch our family as the children are heading out and the discipleship process begins. Well, I want to welcome each of you here this morning to a time of worship. Welcome to worship. Hear those words. In fact, I want to ask you right now to prepare yourselves to listen to every single word that you hear this morning. And I begin again and say to you, welcome to worship. Welcome to a morning of worship. Welcome to a time that will equip you for a lifetime of worship. You'll see before we're done today, as we come into this 13th week in our series entitled Miraculous Metamorphosis, that we're going to, in this 13th week, review what we've done in the first 12 weeks as we get ready to transition into our second quarter, which begins next week. And I say to you, begin to prepare to worship for the rest of your life. You see, our series has been walking down the disciples' path on a journey with Jesus, this lifelong journey with Jesus. And we've emphasized and will for this entire year the discipleship process, the biblical discipleship process. And I want you to know the timeless truth for today, and that is simply this. Discipleship is worship. Discipleship is the embodiment of and the epitome of worship. Think about it. Biblical discipleship is the fulfillment of biblical love, biblical obedience. It's an expression of biblical selflessness, and it leads to biblical effectiveness. I say to you again, discipleship is worship. Welcome to worship. With that having been said, and knowing that I'm about to take you on a journey that's a little different, I want to ask you to pray. Amen. Pray with me that God will tenderize your heart and prepare you to worship. I'm telling you up front, I'm going to bring you into an unorthodox church service, but I'm going to bring you right into the heart of worship. And if you will come prepared and wanting to worship, there's an opportunity here for you today, unlike any you may have ever had in your entire life. At the same time, if you choose to focus on the form, you may fight falling asleep. And if that's so, I beg you to go to the Lord and ask Him to help you with your heart. Would you pray with me? Lord, as we come ready to worship, prepared to worship, realizing what the disciples' path really looks like. It's a walk with you. It's a walk for you. And at times, it's going to be a walk that is filled with warfare. You are worth it. Amen. Nothing compares to you. Oh, Lord, let this first song prepare us for this coming hour, I pray. In Jesus' name, amen, amen. And amen. Watch this and come into worship.
choice the world was made, and still you called my name. Who can compare?
Friends, my prayer is that that has just ushered you into a time of worship. And in a week that we are going to review 12 components of discipleship, I pray we just started on the right foot. For you see, too many people think discipleship is about work and duty and checklists and accomplishments and experiences and resumes. Listen, discipleship is all about worship. Now, discipleship is worship. But worship is not discipleship. You see, too many of us can get caught up in worship and go into our cocoons. Listen, if your worship doesn't involve faithful obedience, it's not the fullness of worship. I might say to you, we could go so far as to question whether or not it's worship at all. Because as you'll see, our text for today, John 14:15, is very simple. Jesus speaking, red letters in your Bible. If you love me, you will obey my commands. You see, love is equated with obedience. John 3:36, if you believe in the Son, you will have life. If you do not obey the Son, then you do not have life, and the wrath of God abides or remains on you. Please see this, that the obedience is not about the doing. It's what Christ has done that saves your soul. It's the rejoicing in the Redeemer that is the greatest expression of any real discipleship. Now, With that being said, I want to show you an image that you'll see more of in the coming months. This image is simply an invitation. It says, come and see Christianity. We're going to put together some tools that help people take that journey, that long journey down the road of discipleship, through the clouds of this day, all the way home to heaven. And I say to you, in every context, when we disciple, we're going to look at three pillars, three truths. Truth number one, and you'll see it again in this image, is we have to define reality. No matter where you are at, we start by defining reality. Number two, we describe restoration. We explain the gospel. And number three, we develop reproducers. This is at the heart of discipleship. Now, there are different stages in life. We're going to disciple the lost as we pray and guide them to Christ. We're going to disciple new lovers of God. We're going to disciple the learners that are beginning to grow. And then the budding leaders and ultimately even the lifers who become what you and I would know as vocational pastors perhaps. But at every stage, the principles remain the same. You have to start by defining reality. Then you describe the application of the gospel, describe restoration. And then you develop reproducers. This is the plan of God. It's really simple. It's just impossible to do without the power of the Spirit. And it's not really happening if it's not happening in the context of worship. Now, this process, this beginning with the defining of truth, let me tell you, and we've seen this in the 12 weeks that we've been together thus far this year. It begins by recognizing that you need a miracle. No matter who you are, you need the miracle of grace. And in our first week, we entitled the message, What Just Happened? And praise God, we had the privilege of defining biblical salvation. And we expressed what you heard in that last song, what it is to be captured by grace, the miracle of saving grace, the love of God, the requirement to repent and to believe biblically. We saw this. In week number two, we saw the centrality of Christ. And I say to you, you don't just need a miracle, you need the Messiah. You need the Messiah. The centrality of Christ is the only way. Jesus said it. I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. Praise God. Again, we don't just worship a miracle. It's not the stuff that we get. It's the Savior that we have. And we saw this in the centrality of Christ. I want to ask you, have you thought recently about the centrality of Christ in your life? Are you that disciple that says, I know that I know that I know Jesus is Lord, and consequently, because he's filled me with his Spirit, he's captured me with his grace, I know that Jesus is my Savior. Everything else in the world is upside down. I'm over my head every day in the mess and in the battle, but praise God, with his Spirit in me, with his waves of grace crashing over me, I am beautifully in over my head. I'm right where Jesus wants me to be. You know, that first song began with the words, where would I be if it were not for your grace? Listen to this song and tell me if you don't find words that capture your heart. And I pray, speak and sing out your reality. Watch this and then we'll pick up. Again, defining truth. We need a miracle in the one Messiah. Do you have any doubt that she knows that Messiah? Do you see the worship? You know, the centrality of Christ is not about a rule, it's about a relationship. Her words, "I feel you coming and I hear your voice on the wind. Would you come and tear down the boxes that I've tried to put you in? Let love teach me who you are again. Take me back to the place where my heart was only about you. And all I wanted was just to be with you. Come and do whatever you want to." This is the centrality of Christ. It's not learning Greek and being able to parse the verbs. It's loving Jesus and living this out. This is the centrality. The third pillar in the defining of truth is that we are to join Jesus on his mission, that we follow Christ. We focused on baptism, but the emphasis is following Christ. Yes, Lord, no matter what, no matter where, no matter when, and privileged to say yes, Lord. Amen? These are what we find in that first set of pillars. And I want to encourage you to go to the notes afterwards, pull them down offline, go back through this message, and you watch how the Lord just marinates you in blessing and in grace and beauty. I've included every word to every song that you're going to hear. And I say to you again, listen very carefully to every single word today. You'll also find the scriptures. To recognize the miracle, I point you to Ephesians 2, 8, 9, and 10. You've been saved by grace through faith, not of works, lest anyone should boast. Right? When we look at the centrality of Christ, I direct you to Genesis 1, 1 and John 1, 1. Jesus the Christ is Creator Christ. And then go to John 3 and Genesis 3 and see the problem of sin, the promise of Christ to resolve it. And then in John 3, the need for Jesus, who was sent out of love, that brings back to us our sense of love. The following, go fish. Friends, go fish. Go fish for men. Be a follower of Christ. Live the Great Commission. When you and I do this, we then change our posture now from defining truth to describing the gospel. To understand this, it's a up component, an in component in the family of God, and an out component to the world that desperately needs Christ. The up component is where we see this time with Jesus being emphasized. We spend a whole week on that. And notice, if it's like Martha and Mary, don't be the doer, be the lover. Don't think it's about the resume. Recognize the need for the relationship. Jesus said in Matthew 11, 28, "Come to me. Come on, bring your junk. Come on, come to me." It's time with Jesus. The question is, do we love him? Do we love him? Do we come to him like a genie in a bottle? Do we come to him like a fire extinguisher behind glass? Do we come like a vending machine? Do we think that he's somehow dying on the cross? And when he says it's finished, he means, oh, good, now you get your American dream. Or do you believe what he said, which was, I'm bidding you to come and die. Come pick up your cross and follow me. Come know the privilege that it is to be persecuted on my behalf, that a dying world held captive by Satan can be set free by my gospel. Amen. I say to you, if you love him, you'll obey him. Amen. John 14, 15. Can you say with me, I love you, Jesus? This is at the heart of discipleship. You're not growing one iota without a love for Jesus. It's worship. I offer you the potential of a new anthem and the guarantee of an opportunity to worship in these next few minutes. Watch this.
Old things have passed away. Your love has stayed the same. Your constant grace remains the cornerstone. Things that we thought were dead are breathing in life again. You cause your sun to shine. Done, we've
resurrection, our devotion poured out on the feet of Jesus. Our affection, our devotion poured out on the feet of Jesus. Our affection, our devotion poured out on the feet of Jesus.
Song today.
Friends, when we describe the gospel, when we describe restoration, it begins with that uptime with the Lord. And I just want to encourage you, if you found yourself thinking, I wish this would hurry up and finish, go back to Jesus. Discipleship is all about him. And it's a love of him. The opening words, old things have passed away. Your love has stayed the same. Your constant grace remains the cornerstone. This is at the heart of discipleship. This is at the heart of spiritual growth. There's not just an up component, there's an in component. Koinonia, supernatural unity, fellowship. What Jesus said in the prayer to the Father, he desired for us a oneness with one another that was on par with the oneness he has with the Father. To describe the application of restoration cannot be done without a supernatural unity in the body of Christ. We see the out component with joining Jesus on mission. This is the Great Commission. All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore, you, Christian, go make disciples, teaching them to obey everything. Who? All the nations. How? Don't sweat it. I'll be with you always, even to the end of the age. The promise of God, the person of God, and the power of God. Acts 1:8, you will receive power when my spirit comes on you, and you will be my witnesses. That's the out. That's the application, again, of the gospel. You can't cocoon as a Christian. So we see, we define reality, we describe restoration, and then we develop reproducers. And this, friends, is going to happen on the battlefield. This is where warfare comes in. Defining truth or defining reality is truth. Describing restoration, that's love. Reproducing, that's warfare. This is where you're going to come up against everything the enemy of your soul has. And you and I will see, as we covered week by week, that in this warfare, there's going to be a war against the world, a war against your flesh, and a war against the devil. We war against the world for definitions, defining things like right and wrong, good and bad, disciple and discipleship. You see, if we don't get the biblical definitions as the church, we're going to aim at the wrong bullseyes. We can get very good. I see it all around. I see it here in our context. I know there are churches chock full of people that are in church who are not in Christ, and they are complacent and satisfied because they've learned to do church instead of be church. We're going to war with the world for definitions. We saw that we needed to define disciple. And I said to you, a disciple is a miraculous, Christ-like work in progress. One on the team of God's redemptive plan for this world. And then to define discipleship, we saw that as well as something that is at war in this world. I gave you my definition. A discipleship commitment will involve the intentional endeavors of miraculous, Christ-like works in progress, also known as disciples, engaged in, not superficially, but engaged in finding the lost and growing the found into family members who are in turn committed to making disciples, who will make disciples, who will make disciples, all for God's glory and all and only by God's grace. There's not an ounce in any one of us that can get this done without the grace of God. Right? Now, I want to ask you again, as a disciple, have you thought about the grace of God? Have you thought about what happens? You see, we're going to see that God goes next. After this war with the world, there's a war with our flesh. And you and I both know it, whether you'll admit it or not. But there's a part of our flesh that doesn't want to surrender to victory. I want to ask you if you've thought about where your victory comes from. It doesn't come from me. It wasn't your pastor. It wasn't your church. It wasn't your religion. It wasn't your resume. If you have victory, it's only because of Jesus the Christ and his spilt blood by grace, through mercy, for the saving of our souls. Again, I invite you to worship. You see, the best way to win the war is to worship. Discipleship is worship. You know what worship is? Worship is warfare. Discipleship is worship, and worship is warfare. I invite you into the battle. And let me remind you now where your ammunition comes from. If your sins have been saved, if you've been washed clean from your sins, it's because they've been washed under, listen to the song's title, a sea of crimson. Worship with me now, would you?
Lost, oh, what a savior.
On that cross of Calvary, where every burden has been defeated and every wretched heart redeemed, you drown our sin in seas of crimson.
He drowns our sins in seas of crimson. I've been praying for Chantel, and I encourage you to do the same, but I want you to notice something. We are at war. Did you not hear? And it's in the context of worship that the warfare will find its greatest expression, whether you are on offense or defense. Listen again to these words. For every curse, you're the cure. For every sickness, you're the healer. For every storm, praise God, you're the calm. For all that's lost, oh, what a savior. You drown our sins in seas of crimson. Hallelujah, death is beaten. Christ has risen from the grave. Hallelujah, it is finished. All to you the highest praise. Hallelujah, death is beaten. Christ has risen from the grave. Hallelujah, now and forever. We're not only at war against the world for the definitions, we're at war with the flesh. Jesus calls every disciple. We saw that. There'll be a fight to hear your call. Jesus teaches every disciple. There'll be a fight over truth. Jesus equips every disciple. And we saw he does this by giving us himself. Again, discipleship's not about learning the system. It's not getting the language down. It's not building your resume. It's living out a love affair with Jesus. And you know what? The world, the flesh, and the devil are going to fight you every step of the way. But here's the best news of all. When the enemy of your soul fights you, and you have the King of Kings in you, your enemy has just brought a knife to a gunfight. That where and when you are filled with the Spirit of God, you have everything you need for life and godliness. 2 Peter 1:3. You can do everything that Christ calls you to in his strength. That's Philippians 4:13. You and I can live as victors when we surrender to victory in Christ. And here's the beautiful portion of worship. If you've noticed, we've been with our friends from day to night. Worship is an all-day, everyday thing. And when this is true of you, you're no longer a slave. Fear has been replaced by faith. Let us be such worshipers.
You unravel me with a melody. You surround me with a song of deliverance from my enemies, till all my fears have come. Child of God,
I'm no longer a slave to fear. I am a child of God. I'm no longer a slave to fear. I am a child of God.
Brothers and sisters, that's your song. That's at the heart of discipleship. That's at the heart of worship. When we reproduce, as we disciple and develop reproducers, we'll be at war with the world for the definitions. We'll be at war with the flesh for our devotion. And we'll be at war with the devil for disciples. And that's why Jesus said, and we looked at last week, he sends all of his disciples. That you and I will go as captives set free, used by the King. We are his ambassadors, the word tells us. We are his aroma, the word tells us. We are his army equipped with his armor, the word tells us. Oh, that we would go. And I say to you as we close, if you want to understand discipleship, it's about loving Jesus. Real life, full life, whole life, loving, living Jesus. Think about it, friends. If you are a Christian, then you can say like me that you have been captured by his tenacious grace. You have been engulfed by just miraculous mercy. That you look and it's the Spirit of God that has developed you. He gave you the gifts and then developed them in you. He's given you and me through his word and his Spirit a means, a message, and a method. It's all in him. What does that look like? Well, I say to you this, that our message, it's simple, it's the gospel. Our means, it's Spirit provision and Spirit power. Our model, it's Christ. And the New Testament example of those acclaimed missionaries. We don't put any lipstick on the gospel. We're not selling Jesus to anybody. And we're not going to compromise down to try to build a crowd that clogs the veins of a church. We hang it on the wall. We distribute it as best we can. I encourage you, if you're not familiar with this, please take one. Take more. Take it to heart. You want to know what discipleship looks like? It's worship lived out. We will be the ones who are responding to grace. Responding to grace and repenting of sin. That's not a one and done deal. That's all the time. We are the ones who are trusting the Bible and obeying God's word. We are ultimately the ones who are growing in Christ and living Spirit led. We are praying for guidance and following by faith. We are dying to self and we are picking up our crosses. We are being the church, and loving one another, truly loving one another. We are equipping the saints and we are winning spiritual warfare. Praise God. If you have any doubt, you are here today. Worship is warfare and we are winning by the grace of Almighty God. We are equipping the saints and exemplifying supernatural unity. Unapologetically. We are ministering as ambassadors and discerning matters shrewdly. We are worshiping God vertically and experiencing Him, praise God, horizontally. We are proclaiming the gospel no matter what. And we are fishing for men. We are making discipled warriors. And again, we are winning spiritual warfare. We are ultimately loving our King and serving His kingdom. Friends, discipleship is worship. There is no greater embodiment of worship than when we exemplify the love of God, obedience to God, selflessness like God, and effectiveness for God. This is why Jesus said, "There is one plan. Go make disciples. Be my witnesses. Be my ambassadors. Be my aroma. Be my army. Amen? Amen. Oh, that we would say, yes, we get to. This is not a job, it's a calling. It's not a have to, it's a get to. We're privileged to have been saved, and we've been saved to serve, and we serve our Savior. Would you pray with me? Oh, Lord Jesus, thank you so, so much that you would die that we could live. Lord, I pray that each one within the sound of my voice would come to realize that discipleship is worship, and that we're not to carve out an extra hour in our week to do worship. We are to be worship. That a right understanding of you and all that we are is what is key. A surrendering to you is what needs to happen. A filling with your Spirit, the miracle of your grace, is the only thing that will change a heart and an eternity. Let us love people enough to tell them the truth. And let us be committed enough to the truth that our love is real. Lord, you didn't hire any of us to go out and get your work done. You've saved us and sent us to let the world see that you are alive in us. Oh, Jesus, we love you. And it's in your name we pray. Amen. And amen. I've asked the